chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. If you have one of these, it's page 1090. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Thank you for your patience in the kids' talk. Now, if we could all form a circle. Just kidding. This morning's message is called Son of Encouragement, and we're going to be focusing mainly on verses 19 to 26, and we'll have a look at verses 27 to 30 another time. But let's just pray and ask for God's help as we get into it. Father, we thank you for this time together around your word. I pray, Father, that we might hear from you, that we might be encouraged by what you have to say to us, and that we might have the power that we need to encourage others. Help us, Father, to have open ears and open minds and hearts ready to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Regularly, Shelley compliments me. She says nice things about me. I read to Shelley of an evening, and she thinks that my voices that I do for the accents and all that are so good that I should do an audio book. And frankly, the things that Shelley says about me are so nice that they can't possibly be true. But because I love her and she is my wife, I believe her, and I'm encouraged. Now, apart from hearing the gospel and believing it, can you think of a time when someone's words inspired you? When somebody came alongside you and encouraged you? Maybe you were in a low moment where it seemed that everybody else had abandoned you, but somebody came alongside and they encouraged you. Maybe you didn't think that you would succeed, you didn't think you'd push through into whatever it is that you were doing, and somebody came alongside and they encouraged you. I think many of us here could say there's been someone in our life who's been pivotal, who encouraged us, either in our occupations or in our families or in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Encouragement can be a powerful thing. It can make the difference. You might have been about to give up, but somebody came along and encouraged you and you made it. To encourage. In English, it means to inspire, give courage, give hope. And yet the term that we find in the Bible is much deeper than that. Yes, it means to give hope, it means to give courage. But an encourager in the Bible isn't someone who just says things. They are an advocate. They're like a cheer squad, if you like. An encourager comes near and an encourager helps. And you know, I think we've downplayed the importance of this gift. Now, we kind of think of encouragement as a bit of a minor gift. Maybe we wouldn't even call it a gift. But this morning, I think we need to understand something. We need to not underestimate the power of encouragement. I want to argue that encouragement is a work of the Holy Spirit which brings people to Jesus. Encouragement is a work of the Holy Spirit which brings people to Jesus. And there are two things about encouragement that I think we need to know. Firstly, encouragement is a gift to the church. Have a look again at verses 19 to 22. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Once again, as we've gone through Acts, we've seen that persecution, which seemed like a bad thing in the moment, actually, and was probably pretty comfortable to experience, actually led to great blessing in the church. That initial persecution in Jerusalem spread Christians all over the place, and they preached the gospel, and people got saved. And we come to the city of Antioch. Antioch is in modern-day Turkey, and it was the third most important city in the ancient world. After Rome and Alexandria, it was the third most important city in the world. Extremely cosmopolitan, maybe 500,000 people, which was a lot of people for that in that time. People came from all over the world and settled in Antioch. It was a trading city. Spices from the Orient would pass through. Now, I mention all of this kind of, you know, odd biographical, historical information, simply to say that Antioch was an extremely strategic place in which to have a church. Trade routes went all over the world from Antioch. Lots of people mixing together, lots of languages and cultures. It makes it an ideal spot to spread the gospel. Simply by having a church in Antioch, you could reach people from all over the world. It's a great place to have a church. It seems like this evangelism that was happening in Antioch was successful and many people came to faith. And when Jerusalem heard about it, they wanted to make sure that it was legit. And so they dispatched Barnabas to see if it was on the up and up. Now I feel like Barnabas is a bit of one of the unsung heroes of the New Testament. We don't talk about him a lot. Usually we're focusing on Peter and Paul, and the reason for that is because the book of Acts focuses on Peter and Paul. We first meet Barnabas back in chapter 4, where we're told his name is Joseph. But this nickname, is that name Joseph only gets used once, and this nickname is what sticks. Barnabas, son of encouragement. We're not told why he got this name. We know he sold some property and gave it for the use of the poor, for the poor. But we're not told if that's where he got his nickname. And we're about to see that Barnabas, son of encouragement, is a very fitting name indeed. But I want to think just briefly about the idea of encouragement as a spiritual gift. Encouragement as a spiritual gift. Now, before today, you might not have thought of encouragement as a spiritual gift at all. You might have thought encouragement is just something that's, you know, sometimes you encourage people. Some people are good at it, right? Some people are not great at it. It seems like it is a small thing, and yet it can have an amazing impact. In verse 24, it says about this about Barnabas, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. It says, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, if you've been reading through Acts, what you kind of expect is when someone is described as being full of the Holy Spirit, is that they will have a string of miracles that they will have performed. If they're full of the Holy Spirit, surely they've gone and done miraculous or incredible things. Maybe they've raised a few people from the dead. Maybe they've healed some paralytics or something like that. Maybe they've cast out a few demons. But we don't have any record of Barnabas doing anything like that. Barnabas doesn't seem to do any miracles. Later in the first missionary journey, when Barnabas and Paul go off together, it's Paul that does a lot of the miracles, not Barnabas. And yet we're told, though we have no record of miracles, we are told that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. You kind of say, oh yeah, yeah, Barnabas? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence that this man was full of the Holy Spirit? If there are no healings, if there are no miracles, if there are no signs and wonders, if there are no resurrections, how can we know that Barnabas truly was full of the Holy Spirit without these signs? The proof that Barnabas is full of the Holy Spirit is that he encourages the church. When they need spurring on, he spurs them on. When they need to be challenged with the gospel, he challenges them. When they need comfort in their distress, he comforts them. And when they need help, he helps them. All of these things are part of what the word encouragement means. It's an interesting word, encouragement. Get ready for some Greek. I don't do this very often, but parakaleo. Parakaleo is the Greek word for encouragement. It means to comfort, to exhort, to encourage, to come near, to advocate. Do you know why encouragement is a sign of being full of the Holy Spirit? Because encouragement is what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. The word for encouragement is parakaleo, and the word for the Holy Spirit in John 14 is parakletos, advocate, helper, the encourager. Encouragement is a genuine gift to the church. It is a genuine sign of being full of the Holy Spirit because it is literally what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. When we need spurring on, the Holy Spirit spurs us on. When we need to be challenged with the gospel, the Holy Spirit challenges us with the gospel. When we need to be comforted in our distress, the Holy Spirit comforts us. And when we need help, the Holy Spirit helps us. Do not underestimate the power of encouragement. It is a genuine gift to the church because it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it was encouragement that changed the direction of my life. Now, I'd always wanted to be in some kind of ministry. I've told you all this before, but in my early days, I wanted to be a music pastor, pastor of music. And then I realized that there were like five of those probably in the country and that wasn't a realistic goal. And so I was working for the Department of Health and I figured that that's what I'd do. I was doing a little bit of study on the side. I went to Challenge Conference a number of years ago. It was up at Camp Clayton. Fantastic Camp Clayton. Camp Carb, as it's also known. And there, Peter Chewett, a retired minister in our denomination, challenged me and encouraged me and said, what are you doing with your life? If you want to be in ministry, then get into ministry. Do an MTS apprenticeship. He challenged me and encouraged me, and it changed the direction of my life. I took his advice and I started an MTS apprenticeship and got to the point where we are today. Do not underestimate the power of encouragement. Don't think to yourself, if only I could be filled more with the Holy Spirit, then I could do big things for God. I could do miracles. When you can do the work of the Holy Spirit simply by encouraging someone. You can do the work of the Holy Spirit by sending somebody a text message. By saying a kind word, an encouraging word. By not saying that thing that is discouraging. Don't underestimate the power of your words. After all, it is with words that the world was created. It is with words that nations are created and destroyed. With words, you can tear your neighbour to shreds. But with the Holy Spirit's help, your words can be the difference between life and death, between success and failure, between hope and despair. Encouragement is a work of the Holy Spirit which brings people to Jesus. It's a gift to the church. It's our first point, and our second point is that encouragement builds the church. Encouragement builds the church. Have a look again at verses 23 to 26. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God, what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, the downside of living in a big city like Antioch, and the downside of living in big cities in general, is that they tend to be immoral. The bigger the city, the bigger the number of people congregating together, the more immoral a place tends to be. And it might have been that the Jerusalem church were a little bit worried. And like, this city, Antioch, is full on, it's full of sin, it's full of immorality. What kind of Christianity is going to come about in that town? And yet Barnabas arrives in the city of Antioch and he's delighted by what he finds. It's interesting, he says, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God was done, what the grace of God had done, he was glad. Those unnamed evangelists who were scattered by the persecution in Jerusalem, who went and preached the gospel in Antioch, were not the agents of change in Antioch. They weren't the ones that made the dead people live again. Those unnamed evangelists weren't the ones that ensured that this baby church was following Jesus. It was the grace of God that did that. Barnabas came and he saw what the grace of God had done. And he was glad. And all he had to do was to encourage them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And that's the kind of encouragement we all need, don't we? Stay true to the Lord, brothers and sisters. Yes, there's a temptation to hate that person, to hate that neighbour who keeps harming you. But stay true to Jesus and love them. Yes, your old friends might now hate you because you've become a Christian, but stay true to the Lord and love your enemies. Isn't that a message that we need today? To stay true to the Lord? When politics seems to have infected virtually everything, when so many are offering a version of the truth, we need that encouragement to stay true to the Lord. And the results of this encouragement, people come to faith. A great number, in fact, through the power of encouragement. Do not underestimate the power of encouragement. God can use it to draw many to Jesus. Now, with all this growth, Barnabas clearly realizes that he's going to need some help. Lots of people becoming Christians. He's trying to teach them all. Maybe he's run a bit ragged. And he thinks, what I need is Saul, or better known to us as the Apostle Paul. Now, Saul, for some reason, had spent the last 7 or 8 years in Tarsus and in Syria. He was currently preaching. They're kind of out of circulation a little bit, and Barnabas goes down to Tarsus to find him and then bring him back to Antioch to help with the work there. Now, this double act of Saul and Barnabas will be one that changes the world. Interestingly, it was Barnabas as well who first took Saul in. Saul was rejected by the Jerusalem church. He was a persecutor. God saved him and he wanted to join the church, but they were afraid, and it was Barnabas who came and took him to meet with the apostles. This duo, this tag team. They're going to work together and teach a great number of people. And I think the fact that we don't think about Barnabas so much and we think mainly of Paul gives us a little bit of insight into the nature of the encourager. The encourager isn't about themselves. The encourager is about doing what they can to get the best out of others. And that often means sharing the limelight and even giving the limelight to others. So this is the beginning of an extremely fruitful relationship. And as I say, Paul is the focus of much of it. But the encourager doesn't get upset when somebody else gets the credit, when somebody else gets the limelight. The encourager is just glad that the work of God is being done. Barnabas doesn't need glory for himself. And once again, it causes us to reflect on how much like the Holy Spirit that is. Consider that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Spirit of God that causes us to will and to do God's good pleasure. And yet, the Holy Spirit takes no glory for himself. We are not told to praise the Holy Spirit. We're not told to pray to the Holy Spirit. Instead, it is by the Holy Spirit that we pray and say, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, the encourager, is not concerned with his own glory, but the glory of Jesus. And the encourager is not after his or her own glory, but the glory of Jesus through the building of the church. Make no mistake, encouragement builds the church. Exhortation builds the church. Advocacy, coming alongside people, builds the church. I've mentioned before, God's Smuggler is a great book by Brother Andrew, totally worth your time reading. And one of the things I kind of noticed about that was the reaction of the people that he went to visit. So Brother Andrew would smuggle Bibles into Soviet bloc countries where the Bible was illegal. And oftentimes they didn't have the scriptures in their own language, and so he helped them. He got them, paid for them to be translated. He'd fill up his VW Beetle full of Bibles, go up to the checkpoint and pray that God would make seeing eyes blind and that they would let him through. And often they always did. But it wasn't just getting the Bibles to these people that encouraged them. It certainly was encouraging to receive a Bible in their language, but that wasn't the thing that encouraged them exclusively. The thing that they told him was so encouraging was that somebody cared. That somebody, the idea that there were people in Western countries who cared so much that they would raise money to buy all these Bibles to send him to them. Because you can imagine you would feel pretty alone in a Soviet bloc country where Christianity is outlawed. Somebody cared. They were encouraged, they were spurred on simply because someone showed that they cared. And this morning I've got three ways for us that we can encourage someone. Three ways, practical ways that we can encourage someone. And the first way we can encourage someone is we can listen to them. Now, when we think of encouragement, we think it mainly as something that you say, good job. Good job, Jordan. Good job, Sarah, with the music this morning. Well done. It was. Phil, not so. No, just Phil. Good job. We think of that, that's the main way we encourage people. And yet we live in a world that I think is increasingly superficial. We're increasingly distracted. I find myself doing this, is that sometimes you're not really listening to somebody else, you're kind of just waiting for your opportunity to speak. You can encourage someone just by listening to them Because when we truly listen to someone, it shows that we care. I still remember the time that someone who's a friend, I don't see much of him anymore, but he paid so careful attention. He listened to me with such compassion and such an open ear that I remember it to this day. And his name is Thomas Grayston. He's a good bloke. And I actually sent him a message about this because I didn't think he would remember this conversation. I sent him a message and said, "Do you remember that time that we went into Valino and I was just pouring out my heart about what was going on?" And I said, "You, the way you listened to me encouraged me. You just, it was like you were really there for me. You just wanted to hear what I had to say." And he said, "You know," he goes, "I wouldn't have remembered that had you not said anything." And he was blown away that I remembered that and was blessed by it. You can encourage someone just by listening to them. The second way you can encourage someone is by reaching out to them. It's never been easier to contact people. We've never been more connected than we are now. And yet at the same time, never have people felt more isolated and alone. The technology in and of itself is not bad, but if we don't use it with intention, it will be our master rather than our servant. I know that people who may not have responded to some of your text messages have been encouraged by them. Ask someone how you can pray for them. Send them a Bible verse that blessed you. Or you can be a massive boomer and call them on the phone. Like, I don't... Whoa, steady on. I don't know if everyone knows this, but our phones actually have... Like, they're phones. Like, you can make phone calls with them. That's going to be a mind blow for some people to work out later. You know how, like, the Dial app has, like, a picture of an old school phone? Like... We know what that means because we grew up with actual phones, but like the kids today, it's like, why is that the phone icon? The third way you can encourage people is by thinking about it. Now, this one seems like the easiest, but it is actually the hardest. And some people are more naturally gifted at thinking than others. Thinking about someone is a gift. Thinking about yourself is not a gift. Thinking about yourself is easy. It comes perfectly naturally. It's not a gift. If anything, thinking about ourselves too much is often a curse. Thinking about others is a gift because thoughtfulness is a gift. And you know that that is true if you've ever been on the receiving end of a truly thoughtful gift or a thoughtful comment. What if we spent even 1 minute thinking about how we can best encourage somebody else? I think if we were put in the position that the kids were this morning of having to say one nice thing about the person to our left, it might be a bit of work, it might be difficult. But what if we thought about them, about how we could bless them, about how we could encourage them, how we could be an advocate for them, and how we could help them? Encouragement is a work of the Holy Spirit, which brings people to Jesus. Now, I wonder if we've neglected a powerful way to build the church. Have we forgotten to do the work of the Holy Spirit by being an advocate, by being a helper, by being an encourager? Encouragement is a gift to the church. As we've seen, it builds the church. Encouragement points people to Jesus, and it doesn't take glory for itself. You know, some of us might think, you know, I don't really have a lot to give. I don't have any special talents. And I'm often so flat out that I don't even have a lot of time to give. And yet, as we heard this morning, you can still do the very same work as the Holy Spirit, like Barnabas did, by encouraging someone to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Don't underestimate the power of encouragement, because encouragement is a work of the Holy Spirit which brings people to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you sent the Holy Spirit as the encourager, and that he testifies in our spirit that we are your children. That's our ultimate encouragement, that by faith in the name of Jesus that we are your children. Father, I pray you help us to be an encouragement to others, that we might build one another up in our most holy faith, that we might carry one another's burdens and be an advocate for one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.